We're going to talk with Dr. Arne Buss, and speaking of listening, now he received an undergraduate degree in psychology at Rutgers University and a PhD from Cornell University. He's been teaching at the undergraduate and graduate level for over 30 years. Now his passion is facilitating and teaching classes about interpersonal communication. He works with individuals and couples to resolve their interpersonal communication issues. And in the past 8 years, he's given presentations on interpersonal communication skills to a number of organizations in the Monterey and Santa Cruz and Santa Clara areas. He's also a distinguished Toastmaster. And in 2001, he was a semifinalist in the Toastmasters World Championship of Public Speaking. And he joins us on the third Thursday of every month with his segment, Speaking of Listening. So to introduce him, let's have a little introductory listening music for Dr. Arne Buss and Speaking of Listening.
Listen to the song here in my heart, a melody I start but can't listen to the sound from deep within. It's only beginning to find relief.
Thank you, Solitar. I'm Arne Buss, your host for Speaking of Listening on Good Vibrations Radio. Speaking of listening is all about ways of improving your relationships by listening from your aware heart. And I will be giving workshops on effective communication and relationship building. Please contact me for more information about that. You can email me at ahbuss, that's A-H-B-U-S-S, at consciousawareheart.com. That's consciousawareheart.com, all one word. Now, remember that, as I am fond of saying, that listening is not just about what hearing the words the other person is saying. It's much more about that. It's engaging in this dialogue. And today I'm going to talk about how we go deeper with that, or how we can go deeper with that when we engage from our aware heart. I'm going to talk about first reacting versus responding. This is a very common theme in what I've been talking about, and it deserves more discussion and more insights into how and why we react versus respond. And then I'm going to talk about how we show up or don't show up, and how we can authentically show up and how that can make such a difference. And then some tools that I found useful for moving into the aware heart. And the reason I mention those is because in working with people and even in observing myself, that can be one of the biggest challenges is looking at ourselves and understanding whether we are reacting from our ego or from our child victim, or coming into our aware heart. And I'll talk more about that. And of course, I'll finish up with some more information about this tracking approach, which is a way of engaging your aware heart with the other person in a very concrete way that what's so powerful about it is that works with whatever shows up and works regardless of whether the other person is aware or not of what that's about. In other words, it's something that only depends on you and not what the other person does or doesn't do. So first, reacting versus responding. Now, when I say reacting, think of what a reaction is. A reaction is when something happens and before we even think about it, we just come out with it. Reactions can be physical, so if you put your hand on something hot, your immediate reaction is to pull it away, and you do that before you even think. You don't think, oh, my hand is hot. My hand is hotter than it's comfortable. I think I'd better pull it away. No, that it doesn't happen. And neuroscience has verified that when we have a stimulus that's so strong physically like that, then we react without even thinking about it. Now, when it comes to pulling your hand away from a hot stove, that's absolutely appropriate. However, when it comes to a conversation, a difficult conversation, then it becomes problematic. And the difficulty is that we have learned to react. We've learned that when we hear something that's uncomfortable, we just react by making the other person wrong, or maybe we make ourselves wrong. So there are two ways of reacting. I like to just keep things very, very simple. And those are the victim versus the judge. Now, the victim is a reaction which is mired in negative feelings. And, you know, it often happens when you hear something that's uncomfortable, or you hear some kind of direct criticism or blame coming at you. Again, we're talking verbally here. We're not talking about any kind of physical attacks. But reacting as a victim is typically driven by old wounds that often go way back to our childhood. And these reactions come about because they were a way that we made ourselves okay when we got criticized or attacked when we were a child. And the victim reaction is a place where we make ourselves wrong. The victim reaction is making yourself wrong. So, for example, if your wife, let's say your wife raises her voice and is critical of you, well, this might remind you of when your mother was critical of you or might punish you, or when you were a child and so you learned to make yourself wrong. And that same reaction shows up in the present. And as long as we're unconscious about it, they become these reactions. Another possibility is that maybe your husband yells. And when that happens, it reminds you of when your father would get angry and yell at you. And you go back to that childhood place, again, unconsciously. So reacting is an unconscious way of tapping into those dysfunctional ways that we learn to cope with what was happening. And I say dysfunctional not as a criticism, but as a means of just observing that when we were children and we learned these ways of adapting, they worked for us. They let us survive until we were adulthood. They're dysfunctional in the sense that when we are unconsciously tapping into those in our current relationships, then they tend to go off the rails. Because your wife is not your mother and your husband is not your father or whoever your caregivers were. And yet, when they say something that stimulates or triggers those old wounds, then you go right back to that place. And reacting does not help the current relationship. Now, the other way of reacting is through the judge. And the judge or parent is sometimes it comes from a place of fear. It's a fear of losing control. You know, a judge is making you wrong. I'm judging you. It's a place of ego. And it means that our ego is in charge. And I say that it's reaction because many times, even as a child, we may react by, instead of making ourselves wrong, we make the other person wrong, even if we don't say something. How many times have you heard a kid say, "You're not the boss of me"? So when we encounter a difficult or challenging conversation as adults, then inside maybe there's that kid still screaming, "You're not the boss of me." So the judge, like the victim, is driven by these old coping mechanisms that often go back to childhood, and it makes the other person wrong. See, the victim makes ourselves wrong, the judge makes the other person wrong. And I'll explain more about what I mean by making them wrong. So another example is that if you were punished and you had a younger sibling, sometimes you would take out that on your younger sibling. That actually happened to me. I was the older older son of two, and I realize in looking back that many times when I got punished by my one of my parents, I would beat up my younger brother. I'd attack him or just do something to him, and you know, that wasn't obviously that wasn't good, but that was part of how my judge was forming as a child. And as an adult, when I did some work and recognized that that's what was happening, then I realized where that part of me was coming from. You know, and the judge also can come from a need to fix the other person. Now, the thing is that, you know, there are many resources for getting, quote, fixed. We have therapists. I mean, if we have health issues, we go to doctors. If we have dental issues, we go to dentists. I mean, that's how we go to fix. When we have a relationship with someone, you know, they're not our therapist. They're not our doctor. They're not our dentist. It's not their job to fix us, and it's not my job to fix you. So as adults, we are responsible for ourselves. And so if I try to fix you, then I'm in a way denying your autonomy. Now, those are the two ways of reacting, from a victim or a judge. And what sometimes happens is that we flip very rapidly between the two. You know, so we might first react as a victim, but then say, "Hey, wait, you're not the boss of me. I'm not the bad one. You're the bad one." And then when they react to that, then, "Oh, yeah, I'm terrible. I shouldn't have said, oh, yeah, well, you." So, and it never goes anywhere. And so if you think of repeating conversations that are of, especially conflicting ones, ongoing conflicts that never get resolved, think of some of those and think of some of the conversations. And as I talk more about showing up and how to validate the other person, think of ways that you could respond differently. Because responding is when we come from our aware heart. And I just love that phrase, because our heart is where the center of our self-worth and our self-esteem is. And aware means that we're aware of it. See, whether you're aware of it or not, you are precious, and you are perfect, and you are valuable just as you are. Many of us just aren't aware of that. And so what I love about the aware heart is that it is not only being okay with myself, it is being aware of the fact that I'm okay. Coming from the aware heart is being conscious and responsive instead of unconscious and reactive. And that's where I see everybody as okay, not just myself, but you. And in fact, and I make conscious choices based upon what is happening in the present moment instead of reacting from old patterns. Every spiritual tradition that I know of talks about being in the present moment. And in the present moment, if we are conscious and making choices based upon what is happening in the now, then we are being alive, we are being present, we are being fully in ourselves. If we react from old patterns, then we're basically playing out the past in the present. Coming from the aware heart means that we're not criticizing anyone. We're not judging, because judgment has no place in this awareness, in this place of expanded space, and in this place where we're completely okay and perfect as we are. We don't blame anybody. I mean, even if somebody is sitting there yelling at me and criticizing, blaming, or judging me, then I can recognize that that's because they're not in their aware heart. And so instead of reacting by criticizing, judging, or blaming them for being critical, judging, and blaming, I can choose to be in my aware heart and have empathy and compassion for them, because it means that they're coming from a reactive and hurting place. So responding from the aware heart means being accepting and validating what is really going on, not necessarily all of the thoughts and judgments or criticisms that are being expressed, but validating the fact that there where exactly where they are. And if the place they're in is in a hurting place, then they often express it in an unconscious way or a way that feels uncomfortable. So remember always that validating is not the same as agreeing. When I validate you, that means that I am accepting you, and in a way it's like namaste. The aware heart in me acknowledges the aware heart in you. Now by showing up, my assumption, and I have yet to find this not to be the case, is that every person wants to have a relationship that's authentic and fulfilling and joyful. And I'm not just talking about intimate relationships, but certainly in intimate relationships, we want to be authentic and fulfilled and joyful and loving. Now the problem is that between being authentic and being fulfilled, there can be a conflict between the two. In fact, if there's a relationship that in which the people say, well, we never fight, we never have disagreements, my guess is that one of them is not showing up, possibly even both. So not showing up is something that's actually harmful to any kind of relationship, regardless of what the level of that relationship is. I mean, obviously, in an intimate relationship, we're going to show up with more of our authentic self than in a friendship or a casual acquaintance. But in each one of those, the more authentic we can be with the other person, then the more that relationship will be everything that it can be and more fulfilling. Now, do you ever have thoughts like this? Like, I need to watch my words carefully around him. I don't want to say the wrong thing. Or I'd better not say anything about this or we're going to get into a fight again. Or I'd better go along with her or else we're just going to get into it again. Or maybe your thoughts are something like, he's always on my case. He's always criticizing me, or nothing I ever do is good enough for her. If you're acting on these thoughts, and again, there's nothing wrong with having these thoughts, but if you're acting on them, then you're not showing up. You're not showing up to yourself. You're not showing up to that other person. You're not being authentic. Now, there's showing up inauthentically, that's a topic that deserves its entire segment just for itself. But showing up inauthentically is often a justification, a rationalization for just being critical. So, if you have thoughts or say something, well, he needs to get his act together. He's just lazy. Or, oh, she's such a nag. Do you think or hear things like, well, that's just me. You have to accept me the way I am. I'm just being myself. Usually these follow a criticism or verbal attack. And it's a way of deflecting and not taking responsibility for having just said that. Do you ever hear things like that? Do you ever say things like that? Again, I don't say that to point the finger, but to say to just notice. Notice without judgment. If that's true, if that impacts you, then just notice it. Start by just saying, oh, that's the place where I think I was reacting. I thought I was being authentic. I thought I was being myself. But is that really yourself? Is that really who you are? So in these cases, like, there's the impression of authenticity, but it's simply a justification for being critical and judgmental. That's not really what showing up is. For me, authentic showing up is when I'm clear about my own wants, my needs, my boundaries, and in doing so, I don't make myself wrong, and I don't make you wrong. I use this phrase, not making wrong, and here's what I mean by that. By making wrong is simply a shorthand of criticizing, blaming, or judging harshly. In other words, if I make you wrong, it means that I'm pointing the finger. It means I'm saying that you're bad. You're not okay. If I'm pointing at myself, again, I'm being the victim. I'm saying I'm not okay. Now, the interesting thing is that I can only see you as okay as I see myself. And there are two dimensions to showing up authentically. One is speaking my truth from the heart. And speaking my truth is not about judgment or blame or making somebody wrong. It means speaking about what is going on for me, expressing my thoughts and my feelings without judging or blaming anyone. And that's a topic for a different segment. And the second way is listening from the heart. And that's really what I talk about so much here. And that's what this segment is about, listening from the aware heart. Because that's where most of us are challenged. It can be the hardest thing to be willing to listen and validate the other person when we hear something that's uncomfortable. But listening from the heart is so empowering because it means we can be truly authentic. We can show up. We can be in our aware heart regardless of where the other person is coming from. In other words, we empower ourselves. They have no power. You have no power over me, over how I choose to respond to you. If I'm reacting, then I'm like a puppet on your string. So barriers to showing up authentically. Well, most roadblocks come from things like childhood wounds. I'm not okay, as I talked, being in the victim. Or an ego place, or you're not okay. Or even the superego or inner critic, which is, I'm worse than not okay, I'm terrible. We all have these. We all have an ego. We all have a superego. And I'm not saying I'm a Freudian. I'm just using the ego and the superego as ego is kind of a shorthand for our personality, and superego is a shorthand for our inner critic. And I'm going to talk a little more about the inner critic. The beauty of learning to listen from our heart is that we can use the conversations that go badly as windows into these wounded places in ourselves. In other words, if we change the focus from what the other person is doing to what we're doing, then that provides almost a roadmap to what the wounded places in ourselves are. When we blame the other person, then no matter how justified, then we lose that wonderful opportunity for our own healing. Now, think back to the last uncomfortable conversation you had or some recent conversation where there were some strong negative feelings going on. Did you feel that you were frequently interrupted, that you didn't have a chance to express your thoughts fully? Did you feel criticized and made wrong? Or maybe you were the one interrupting the other person. They kept trying to say something and you didn't like what they heard, so you jumped in and said, no, you got that all wrong. Or maybe you disagreed with the other person. You argued against the person's thoughts. I mean, I have to confess that in the past week, I have done each of those things a number of times. The difference is that when I recognize them, then as time has gone on, then I do it fewer and fewer. So I'm hardly perfect. And one of the ways that I will note that they say that you teach what you need to learn, and part of the reason why I teach this is because I really need to learn it myself. So instead of blaming the other person or instead of blaming yourself, use it as a way of examining what's going on inside when that was happening. Recognize that you were reacting rather than responding. And the challenge is, in future similar situations, how can you move to and stay in your aware heart? The good news is that there will always be a next time. Because if you're showing up, then there's going to be conflict. And that's inevitable. Now, I want to talk a little bit about moving into your aware heart. Now, if you're 100% okay with yourself and living fully in the present moment, then you can be in your aware heart 24/7. Now, most of us are not quite there. In fact, what I just described is more like an enlightened master than a normal human being. But we can move towards that. This requires some kind of inner work. And you may be thinking, well, what do you mean inner work? I don't need no inner work. I ain't broke. And there's a saying that goes, if it ain't broke, break it. If it ain't broke, break it. If you are 100% okay with all of your conversations and all of your interactions with other people, especially ones where there's a conflict, then you don't need this. So what are you doing listening to this segment? You're probably listening because you've had conversations that have gone off the rails. You've got conversations where you go, well, boy, that really didn't help this relationship. So if you're like most of us and you wish to improve your communication skills, then working on these issues, like not making yourself wrong and not making the other person wrong, is the key element. And the way to do that is to connect with your aware heart. Now, one way I've found that helps a lot with this is to start with your feelings, start with the negative feelings, and look into the sponsoring thoughts and beliefs that are supporting those feelings. So bring to mind that last uncomfortable conversation. Recall as much about that situation as possible. You know, where were you? Who were you with? What was the environment like? What was the conversation about? What were your thoughts and feelings about it? And bring into your awareness what you were believing in that moment about your thoughts and feelings. Write it down if possible. Typically, there's going to be a should in there. Now, answer this question. Is that sponsoring thought, is that belief really, really true? Now, don't answer right away. You know, sit and contemplate it, meditate on it a little bit. So, for example, Judy was upset that I told her she needed to see a doctor about the problem she was having. I felt frustrated and angry that she didn't see the seriousness of this. To some of my beliefs, Judy should be doing what I tell her to do. Judy is being stubborn. Judy should see how serious it is. Now, a woman named Byron Katie has this wonderful concept called a turnaround. And what that does is that identifies specific examples how the opposite of what you're believing is at least true, if not truer. So the opposite of Judy should do what I tell her to do is Judy shouldn't do what I tell her to do. And what's an example of how that might be true in that situation? Well, in that situation, well, first of all, Judy shouldn't do what I tell her to do because she's not doing what I tell her to do. And if I think she should be doing something that isn't happening, then I'm basically at odds with reality. She shouldn't do what I tell her to because she's an adult and she's really the one who knows best about how to take care of herself. And by telling her she shouldn't do what I tell her to do because I'm being parental towards her and she's not my child. Another opposite is I should Judy do what Judy tells me. Judy's telling me to shut up and leave her alone, stop telling her what to do. Is that just as true, if not truer? Probably. Judy is being stubborn. What's the opposite of that? I'm being stubborn. How am I being stubborn? I'm being stubborn because I know best what Judy should do, and I'm not listening to her. I'm not listening to what she is going through. So I'm the one who's being stubborn, and that's just as true, if not truer, than Judy is stubborn. So here's how tracking could have helped. I mean, I could say, so Judy, you don't feel it's serious enough to see a doctor. Or, so Judy, there's a reason why you don't feel it's necessary to see the doctor. And then just listen to what she says. Or if it's obvious that she's in pain, I might say something like, so then you're willing to live with the pain as it is. And that's what's called a gentle challenge, which I've spoken of in other segments and will speak about again in the future. Again, this is very similar to Byron Katie's The Work, which is a wonderful way of addressing all these inner things and deserves much more. In fact, she has a website and she has a podcast and she has videos on YouTube. And I encourage you to take a look at the work that she does. Now, to finish up, I do want to talk a little bit more about tracking, which I was just demonstrating a little bit. With tracking, you want to focus on the speaker. You begin with coming from the aware heart. And the beauty of tracking is that it provides a concrete way of, and some of the words in which you can use, but the words are, and the technique is only the superficial thing. The most important is being in the aware heart. And it, you might think, well, okay, this is kind of like active listening, which I hear you say, or if I'm hearing you right, or I understand. And those are phrases that the tracking avoids. In tracking, you only use the pronoun you. You never use the pronoun I. You avoid parroting. What you're doing is you're decoding the hidden message. In the examples before, Judy was resisting my telling her to go to a doctor, when I say, you don't feel it's serious enough to see a doctor, she didn't use any of those words, but that was the message she was conveying. Or if I say, again, so you're willing to live with the pain. In a way, yeah, in a way she was conveying that. She was saying, well, I don't want to see a doctor. If you don't see the doctor, then you're going to be with pain. So in a way you're communicating, well, I'm kind of okay with that. And that's a gentle challenge because she may or may not, you know, there may be some other reason why she doesn't want to see the doctor. And that will come out with the tracking. And it'll only come out if I keep her okay, if I don't keep trying to make her do something that she doesn't want to do. So some other examples is, of tracking statements that you might say, you know, so you're sad about what happened. Or so maybe you're feeling discouraged about this ever getting better. Or somebody saying, you know, so you felt criticized. In fact, Judy might, if she complains that I was on her case, I might say, you know, so you felt criticized by being told about going to the doctor. Or maybe, so you found that hard to hear. So remember, tracking is the concrete way that I teach of being responding from the aware heart instead of reacting. And this time I've talked about reacting versus responding, ways of showing up authentically, and discussed some ways of inauthentically showing up. And finally, some ways that you can move into your aware heart, and a brief review of tracking. I'll be talking much more about tracking in future segments. But until then, you have been listening to Speaking of Listening on Good Vibrations Radio. I've been your host, Arnie Buss. I want to thank you so much for joining me today. You can listen to Speaking of Listening every third Thursday at 5 o'clock right here on Good Vibrations Radio. To learn more about this and more in my workshops on effective communication and relationship building, you can email me at ahbuss@consciousawareheart.com. That's all one word, ahbuss@consciousawareheart.com. You can like me on Facebook at AwareHeart or follow me on Twitter at Effect5Com. And if you go to www.consciousawareheart.com, you will find an archive of all the past segments there as audio files that you can download or listen to right on you in your browser. And so until next time, remember, listen from your aware heart.
Listen to the song here in my heart, a melody I start but can't complete. Listen to the sound from deep within.